Thank you, Rachel, for that beautiful, soulful rendition of Deep River. On May 18th, 1966, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered the Ware Lecture at the UUA General Assembly in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. In his lecture, Dr. King recounted the story of Rip Van Winkle, who went to sleep during the reign of King George III and woke up 20 years later when George Washington was president. Dr. King said, "The most striking thing about the story of Rip Van Winkle is not merely that Rip slept 20 years, but that he slept through a revolution. While he was peacefully snoring up the mountain, a revolution was taking place that would change the course of history, and Rip knew nothing about it. He was asleep. And one of the great liabilities of life," King continues, "is that all too many people find themselves living amid a great period of social change, and yet they fail to develop the new attitudes, the new mental responses that the new situation demands. There is nothing more tragic than sleeping through a revolution." So last week, I joined thousands of people in Washington, D.C. and in Rockville in protests incited by the killing of George Floyd and the ensuing outrage over police brutality. I was with people from different racial and ethnic groups, religious and spiritual backgrounds, sexual orientation and gender identities, social and economic backgrounds, and all ages, marching together to transform this nation from what it is to what it should be. And I was witness to so many powerful moments. Witness to a situation where young Black protesters called on Capitol Police, who were standing guard in front of the US Capitol, to take a knee in solidarity. And one by one, Black and white officers took a knee. I was witness to a conversation with the chief of Capitol Police, Chief Sun, who had to be schooled about the history of policing in our country, of how it originated from slave patrols, when he refused to come and meet with the organizers of the protests and kept trying to tell me that Congress was there and that he and his police were there to protect Congress. And when I reminded him that Congress was there to serve us because we elected those people to Congress and therefore they are here to serve and protect us, he walked away. I was there at St. John's Episcopal Church praying with other clergy and joining protesters, kneeling with them and singing, "We Shall Overcome," and ending it with, "We will not be afraid today." And I was there witnessing to the National Guard and the Army and the Secret Service and the Department of Prisons joining together, marching towards the White House and then settling down on the Lafayette Ellipse, protecting a coward and a tyrant who had enclosed himself in a cage, getting the wall that he's always wanted. These and many other instances have spurred me to action, to move out of my self-enclosed quarantine, to move out of my fear about this temporary epidemic, to actually be present to and engage with this ongoing epidemic, this pandemic that we have been witnessing to for 401 years in our country. What we are seeing today is the revival of a sacred revolution that began generations ago. All over the country, in big cities and small towns, in inner cities and suburbs, hundreds of thousands of people black people, people of color, and huge numbers of white people that I have never seen before in any of the protests and marches I've been a part of. People who are suffering from the chronic racial injustice fatigue are demonstrating peacefully in the streets despite the pandemic, protesting, shouting, "No justice, no peace, Black Lives Matter, I can't breathe." Say their name, demanding an end to police brutality and the dismantling of structures that keep Black lives in jeopardy. And around the world, tens of thousands are demonstrating in support of Black Lives Matter in the US, while also denouncing racism in their own countries. People are, as civil rights leader Ms. Fannie Lou Hamer said, sick and tired of being sick and tired. So what about us, friends? Are we awake, or are we going to sleep through this revolution? And if we are awake, not woke, but awake, what are we willing to do? What does it mean now to be a community where love works? You see, love works when we are not afraid of the stranger, that we see our family in the stranger. That means Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, Tony McDade, Breonna Taylor, Finan Burhe, David McAtee, and every Black person who was killed or is suffering, sick, poor, or dying is our sibling, is our family. Love works when we call out the centrality of anti-Black and systemic racism in our country. It means reaching out to our Black brothers, sisters, and siblings, letting them know that we are willing to witness to their grief, their rage, their fear, their pain, their hopelessness, and their despair, that we will no longer be silent, we will no longer be afraid, we will no longer be cocooned in our privilege. That though we can never fully understand what it means to be Black in this country, we are going to be sitting and marching with them, letting them know that they are not alone, that they do not have to carry this burden alone, not anymore. Grieving with others will teach us how to fight with them. And for those of us who are people of color, love works means to channel our fear and our rage into courageous love. Because our rage, as Valerie Kaur puts it, carries essential information. It returns us to our body's ability to fight for our lives and the lives of others. The key, she says, is to process our rage in safe containers that don't harm us or others. That means to be with our people, to shake, to cry, to run, to scream, to rant, to breathe. And then stepping into the role of translating the raw reactionary rage in the street to those who cannot understand it. By helping our country understand the pain of those whose cries have fallen on deaf ears for so long. And for those of you who are white identified, love works means not being satisfied that you are not a racist. Because as Dr. Ibram Kendi points out, the opposite of racist is not racist, it is anti-racist. What's the difference? He says one endorses either the idea of a racial hierarchy as a racist or racial equality as an anti-racist. One either believes problems are rooted in groups of people as a racist or locates the roots of problems in power and policies as an anti-racist. One either allows racial inequities to persevere as a racist or confronts racial inequities as an anti-racist. There is no in-between safe and comfortable space of being not racist. There is no neutrality in the racism struggle, end of quote. Love works means being more than empathetic allies. It means being accomplices, co-conspirators with people of color to shatter the shackles of systemic racism and oppression. It means acknowledging that while systemic racism and white supremacy is not your fault, you have inherited a legacy that is intentionally designed to perfection, to benefit you, our country's economic, political, and social institutions that operate on the assumptions that Black lives do not matter. It means Black people and people of color cannot dismantle systemic racism, but you can. Love works means not being satisfied now that the police officers have been charged for George Floyd's murder, or that some police officers are taking a knee in solidarity with the protesters. It means those who killed Breonna Taylor are yet to be charged, and those who killed Tony McDade are yet to be named. It means we still do not have justice for the hundreds of thousands of others who have been killed from systemic racism, police violence, mass incarceration, health inequity, and poverty. It means recognizing, as the Reverend Al Sharpton said in his powerful eulogy at George Floyd's funeral on Thursday, that George Floyd's story has been the story of Black folks because ever since 401 years ago, the reason we could never be who we wanted and dreamed to being is you kept your knee on our neck. It means recognizing that our communities are policed as war zones, that the police state is a living reality where curfews are customary and the National Guard and the Army marches in our streets, protects a coward. And every police force in our nation has unlimited supply of tear gas, riot gear, rubber bullets, while we still do not have enough PPEs. It means this is the time to make economic and structural demands on our government to end the multiple pandemics of systemic racism and poverty and militarism and ecological devastation and a distorted religious nationalism, and to end the militarized force that is used against people who just wanted to breathe. It means finding our voices to say enough, no more. It means aligning ourselves with voices that have for long been calling for demilitarizing the police and divesting from policing and incarceration and investing in programs that meet critical community needs, schools, universal healthcare, and transformative forms of justice that truly keep our communities safe. Love works means love is not a feeling, a Hallmark moment, or a hashtag moment, but a decision, not a privileged choice, but a moral imperative. It means staying engaged for the long haul. It means trusting that love is real and that love will guide us through the hard night. It means we who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes for all people. It means not resting in comfort or ease until the day comes when all can breathe. So let us say yes to that love with the yes of our lives and our deeds. And to that I say, amen. And the people say, amen.